Hello again, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob on our third day of our walk with the way of a pilgrim. The journey of the Jesus prayer. Amen. And we will pick up today where we left off yesterday. Just a couple notes. This word that has come up and will come up again, starets, and the plural of starets is startsy. That's the term that I basically think of as a spiritual director. Our book tells us a senior monk who's turned to for spiritual guidance, the concept of spiritual eldership, was very prominent in 19th century Russia. And so villages and towns and monasteries would have these charismatic and influential spiritual directors that people would come to talk with and meet with and listen to. Often their influence was felt far beyond the monastery. So that's where that comes from, and that's who, as we ended yesterday, that's who our pilgrim was encountering. And so let's review a little bit where we were. Remember, he had been to one monastery, and then he left there and walked for about 5 days, and on that fifth day, he caught up with another monk and explained his situation to him, what he was searching for, what he was seeking. And this monk invited him to their monastery about 6 miles off the main road, as the book says. And this is where one of the things we talked about last night in discussion group came up, that this pilgrim is not attached to things of this world. And so listen to what he says to this a monk who has invited him to the monastery because they have food and shelter, right? He said, I was reluctant to go with him, so I replied, my peace of mind does not depend on finding shelter, but rather on obtaining spiritual guidance. I do not need food, for my knapsack is filled with dried bread. That's all you need. Okay. So, we continue on. He tells the monk his story. He's been to different churches. He's listened to different sermons. And yet, here's what he says. Listen close to how he says this. No matter how many sermons I heard, not one of them provided me with an explanation of how to pray unceasingly. How to pray unceasingly. He says, I am not at peace with myself and am still quite puzzled by all of this. Let us begin. The starets made the sign of the cross over himself and began to speak. Thank God, beloved brother, for having awakened in you this irresistible longing to acquire unceasing interior prayer. You must recognize this as the calling of God. Be at peace and rest assured that until now, you have been tested in the cooperation of your will with God's calling and have been granted to understand that neither the wisdom of this world nor mere superficial curiosity can attain to the divine illumination of unceasing interior prayer. On the contrary, it is the humble, simple heart that attains to such prayer through poverty of the spirit and a living experience of it. So, it is not at all surprising that you heard nothing about the very essence of prayer, nor acquired any knowledge on how to achieve its unceasing activity. To tell the truth, although much has been preached on prayer and written about it by various writers, they are better equipped to preach about the elements that constitute prayer than they are about its very essence. because their thoughts are based mostly on speculation and the deliberations of natural reason rather than on living experience of it. One will offer an exceptional discourse on the necessity of prayer, another on its powers and benefits, yet a third will discuss the means to attaining to perfect prayer, the necessity of applied effort, attentiveness, warmth of heart, purity of thought, reconciliation with one's enemies, humility, contrition, and so on. But what about prayer itself and how to learn to pray? To these, the most essential and necessary questions of all, very rarely does one obtain any substantial answers from present-day preachers. Such questions are far more difficult for the understanding to grasp than are all those arguments of theirs that I just mentioned. For they require a mystical insight that goes above and beyond mere academic knowledge. And what is even more pathetic is that the vain, natural wisdom of this world compels one to judge the divine according to human standards. Many people treat prayer in an inverted way, thinking that it is one's efforts and the preparatory steps that give rise to prayer, rather than the prayer itself giving birth to good works and all the virtues. In this case, they mistakenly see the fruits and resulting benefits of prayer as the means to its end, thereby denigrating the very power of prayer. All this stands in direct contradiction to Holy Scripture. For the Apostle Paul teaches us the following about prayer. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge, therefore, that first of all supplications be made. Here we see that the Apostle's first emphasis is on the preeminence of the activity of prayer. I urge, therefore, that first of all supplications be made. Many good works are required of a Christian, but it is prayer that must come first and foremost. For without prayer, no other good work can be performed, and one cannot find the way to the Lord. Truth cannot be acquired. The flesh with its passions and lusts cannot be crucified. The heart cannot be filled with the light of Christ and united with Him unless these are preceded by frequent prayer. I say frequent because the proper way to pray and to attain to perfect prayer lies beyond our abilities. The Apostle Paul says, "For we do not know how to pray as we ought." Consequently, the frequency and regularity of prayer are the only things that lie within our abilities as the means of attaining to pure prayer, which is the mother of all spiritual blessings. Saint Isaac of Syria says, "Acquire the mother, and she will bear you children. First, learn to pray, and then you will easily perform all good works." This is not obvious to those who lack a living experience of prayer and the knowledge of the mystical teachings of the fathers, so they say very little about it. Amen.